Come on, honey.
I don't sing at all. I sing in my private time with the Lord, but not in front of you. He likes my singing. Hallelujah. Somebody does. Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's pray over the word tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this place this morning. We open up our hearts. And Father, I just pray for revelation to flow and for you to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I wanted to continue doing restoring the soul, but the Holy Spirit gave me something different, and I've been feeling it for a while now. And so we're going to talk about, do you have a ladder in your house? Amen. And as we go along, you'll see what we're talking about, okay? Do you have a ladder in your house? And I just felt like, you know, everybody comes up with these awesome titles. I felt like this was the Holy Spirit that gave me this title. But we're going to talk tonight about prayer. And we're going to go forward in the next couple of weeks and talk about the priority of prayer in our life and how important it is. Because we've become casual. Many people have become casual in their prayer life. And we're trying to fit prayer into our lives when prayer ought to be the priority of our lives. Amen? It ought to be the priority. And so Sunday nights are all about faith, but if we don't pray, amen? Where are we using our faith? The Bible even talks about the prayer of faith, and there are many different types of prayer. And but we have to start somewhere, amen? A lot of people don't pray because they don't know how to pray. And we're going to talk about how to pray next week. We're going to give you some helps on how to pray. But this week, I want to talk about the priority of prayer and the attitude that we have to pray. Because it's something that it seems like the church has kind of cast off. Well, we'll pray on the way to work. Or we'll catch a few minutes here and a few minutes there. But I want you to see how important it is to God that we regard prayer as a priority in our life. Amen? Let's look at Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12. I'm going to start there. Leviticus 6, 12 through 13. Pastor, where is Leviticus in the Bible? Some of you need to bring your paper Bible so I can see how quick you can find your scriptures. I remember when I first got saved, I would help in the children's church, and they would do sword drills. Anybody remember those? And the kids would win prizes at whoever could find the scripture the fastest. And it taught the kids to learn the word. Amen. It taught them. They knew, man. They knew where Genesis was and Leviticus was and all those books. Amen. But Leviticus chapter 6, 12 through 13. Starting with verse 12, it says, meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the daily whole burnt offering on it. He must then burn the fat of the peace offerings on top of this daily whole burnt offering. Verse 13 says, remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out. You know, this talks about the Old Testament priest, but in 1 Peter, and I didn't give you guys a scripture, but in 1 Peter 2:9, it says that you and I are a royal priesthood, a priestly kingdom. And in Revelations 5:10, it says, through your blood, you have made us priests and kings. We're priests and kings, amen? And we need to keep the fire burning. It must never go out. It says, verse 13, a fire shall always be burning on the altar. God said, a fire I want on the altar. In this day and age, your body is the temple now. This is the Old Testament we're talking about right here, but the body is the temple now, and the body has an altar. It has a sacred place, and it either has fire on the altar, the prayer place, or the fire has gone out. We need fire back in the prayer place. Fire back in our lives to pray. Not just as a duty or a task, But if we want to see the power of God in our lives, we got to get the fire back in our prayer life. Amen? And so we're going to talk for a few minutes on prayer, but in a different way, and maybe you've heard some of this before, but even if you have, I've heard things before, but sometimes 10 years later, I catch it. Hopefully, you don't have to wait 10 years. You know, and I know that something is happening in my prayer life right now, and that I love, and I pray that there'll be impartation into your prayer life. I know that the Holy Spirit and God's dealing with me to go into a deeper place, into a fiery place, into a place where we're really seeing signs and wonders and miracles. Amen? And I pray, I know many of you need miracles in your home. You need God to show up. Well, I pray for that tonight. Amen? Now, God instilled into us the DNA of his creation, a desire to communicate through prayer. God instilled this. That is why when you find remote tribes and in the jungle somewhere, you know, I have my contacts in and you guys look so blurry tonight. No. I was like, what? Why can't I see them? No. I want to see the whites of their eyes. No. But so many remote tribes in the jungle somewhere, every tribe who has never heard even of God or Jesus in the Bible, they are praying to something. Because something inside of them, something innate inside of us, desires to communicate with God. Everybody, every tribe, every person, God, that's our DNA. We desire to communicate. And so you have tribes and people praying to gods that don't exist or praying to something, amen? Because there's an inner longing for him, and the same is with God. God has an inner longing. God longs for us, and the reason he made us was to fellowship and to communicate with us. We're made in his image. We're made with his ability, and God, you know, it's something when you talk to maybe a little baby and you're kind of like not on the same level, you know, baby's like da da da, you know, once you if you've had little kids and they're with you all day, it's really cool when an adult comes home and you get to talk to an adult person, and then you're telling your adult husband or somebody, oh, I gotta go potty, you know, because you're just so used to talking to your little children. But God has made us in his image to fellowship like he fellowships, with his ability to talk with him, not like a baby talks, but like he talks. Amen? And the Bible gives us a beautiful picture of this in Genesis. And before Adam and Eve fell, God would come down in the cool of the day and walk through the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve talking, fellowshipping, communicating. They were not praying about their problems. They were just being with him. They didn't have any problems. They didn't have any in-laws. They didn't have any children. They didn't have any financial crisis. I'm not saying all in-laws are bad, but what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. Food and blessing were everywhere. They were under the blessing. They did not have, before they fell, they did not have a devil attacking them. Amen? And so they were just being with God. They were walking with God, and God went every day in the cool of the day, and he fellowshiped with them. And the only reason that they were together was to be together. That's what real prayer is. And God wants us to be together with him. Real prayer is not like, you know, you say to your kid, hey, did you say your prayers today? And your child says, well, no, I didn't need to. I didn't get in trouble today. You know, that's what some people think prayer is. They think it's just when you get in trouble that we need to pray. And I pray that your spirit is open tonight. I pray your spiritual ears are open. I pray that you don't sweep this under the rug, because I believe this is so vital to our walk with God, our fellowship with God, our prayer time with God. Amen? Hallelujah. Never in its original state was it about us, about just praying to God for our troubles. It was about when he walks with us and he talks with us. It was about fellowship. It was about our time with him. Amen? God always intended for us to pray. Prayer is just talking to God. And he misses that fellowship when we don't spend that time with him. I hate to even say the word spend, because you're not spending anything on God. You're investing in your life. You're fellowshipping with him. There's a scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Samuel was given his farewell address, and he was given it with instructions. And he was getting ready to finish what he was doing. And he says in verse 23, he says, "As for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you." You know, Samuel considered it sin to be prayerless, sin to not pray for those people. He said, "I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you, and I will continue to teach you what is good and what is right." And the King James Version says, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Wow. Wow. Sin is serious. Sin is serious business too, but prayer is serious business. Amen. By ceasing to pray, if you forget your prayers, you're literally forgetting God. Seriously. You know, Pastor Judy, I love God. When's the last time you had a good conversation with him? When's the last time you just took some time worshiping him? Talking to him about your life. If prayer is not real to you, is God real to you? Is God really real to you? And it's time, if you haven't already, to establish your prayer life. It's pray or dry up. And many have dried up. They've dried up. They come to church. They love God. Really, you know, but there's just, they don't spend any time talking to him. And the greatest desire, I believe, that my Heavenly Father has is to hear from you. To hear your voice so that he can speak to you. Amen? Because if you're not opening up your heart and talking to him, how can you hear his voice when he speaks to you? Amen? I want to talk about Jacob for a few moments. On his way to his mother's family, Jacob experiences a dramatic divine confirmation of the blessings of his father. And he has a dream. And in his dream, Jacob sees a visual sign of the connection between earth and heaven, humanity and God. You're wondering what the ladder is all about. You're going to see it here. God also repeats the promise of offspring to Jacob at that time. Let's read the scripture. Genesis chapter 28, and this is 10 through 17, but stay with me, okay? It says, "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and so he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to the heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad the west and the east to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you.' Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.' And he was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.'" Now, I can tell you, honestly, when I first got saved, and this is before I believe I met Pastor, I don't know, the evangelist must have preached on prayer. I don't remember everything that was preached, but I remember I had such an innate desire to pray all the time. And so I was always, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because I'm going to talk about the place of prayer in a minute, But I was always praying, and I'm telling you, I just would get my Bible, and I didn't even know what it meant, half of it. But I was always, it was the work of the Holy Spirit, and God, the Holy Spirit works different. And I never saw this scripture, but I had a vision. I'll never forget it. And when I saw the scripture, I was like, oh my gosh, I remembered the vision. I was praying for my family to get saved, and I was praying for people. And when I was praying, I saw angels. If I was praying for Rose over here or Maria, I saw angels come down the ladder, take the person that I was praying with, go up the ladder into heaven while I was praying for this person, and then bring that person down, and then take the next person up the ladder. I was interceding for people, and I had that vision, and never ever had read this scripture. I didn't read many scriptures because I didn't understand the Bible too much until I met Pastor Ed, but I remember that so specifically. And I'm asking you tonight, is there a ladder in your house? Amen? Jacob saw angels descending on that ladder and going back up, ascending and descending, ascending, taking up prayers and bringing down miracles. Amen? Prayer was Jacob's ladder. Do you have that ladder? Do you have a ladder in your house? Do you have a ladder over your family? Do you have an entry point for angelic forces to come and to enter in? If you don't pray, you don't have that entry point. Amen? If you don't pray, you don't have a ladder between earth and heaven. Heaven is real. Angels are real. And God is wanting us to pray. And when we pray, the angels will move. They'll do whatever it takes. If you need financial miracles, if you need wisdom, whatever it is, God will move on your behalf if you learn to pray. Amen? And if not only you learn, but you put a priority on it. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. God supernaturally lit that fire on the altar that we just talked about. The fire came down, and God supernaturally lit the fire. Fire came down from heaven. The priests didn't light that fire. Moses didn't light that fire. God sent the fire, and it exploded. And it's just a beautiful picture of what happens when a person becomes born again. You have nothing to do with it. God sent salvation when you ask for it, and he cleanses you and he forgives you, and you do nothing to earn and to deserve it. Amen? But notice, it was the priest, it was up to the priest to keep it burning. The priest, every day, the scripture said, they had to sweep out the ashes. They had to put wood on the fire. And God said, I started it, but it's up to you to keep it burning. I started the fire in you. I brought salvation to you. But it's up to you to keep it burning. See, we want God to do everything, but we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility as well to work with God to keep the fire burning. That's what prayer is. Prayer is the wood. God supernaturally put the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in us. But he said, if you want the fire to burn, you've got to deal with putting the wood on the sacrifice. Amen? You got to put the wood and sacrifice on the fire. You got to sweep out the ashes, and you got to push away things. You got to push away sin in your life, things that keep you from the place of prayer. A lot of people don't pray because they're condemned, because they feel like they can never get the victory, or sin is always in the way. It doesn't matter whether sin is there. You just keep going to God, because that sin will go away. And he cleanses you every time. He forgives you when you ask him to forgive. And, well, Pastor Judy, what if I do the same thing over and over? Do you remember the scripture when Peter said, how many times shall I forgive my brother? And if he tells man to forgive 70 times 7, how much greater mercy does God have? Amen? But and as we pray and we keep the fire, the sin will disintegrate. Amen? Say amen or oh me. You're quiet tonight. We must never allow the passion and the fire of God to go out. And if it does, we become lukewarm. And if you're lukewarm, he said, what? He'll spew us out of his mouth. God wants us red hot for him. And we just kind of become casual, and it's okay. And, you know, we go to church, and, man, God wants us on fire. Just look at the book of Acts. That's our example. When they got saved, it wasn't, you know, even through the Gospels, there was the 12, and then there was the 70, and then there was the multitude, and they had the fire of God in the book of Acts, and they reached the whole known world during that time. Amen? God says, I want red hot, and the only way to have a red hot fire, the only place that you can do it and build a fire is at the altar of prayer. You've got to have that fellowship with God. He wants and desires you to be there. Listen, when you were full of sin and didn't even know Jesus, he reached down and he brought you salvation. How much more? How much more does he love you now? Amen? So I'm going to give you a few instructions on how to keep the fire burning in your life. Next few weeks, we're going to talk about how to pray. You know, we're going to give you some help. Some of you probably already have an established prayer life, but some of you may not. But how to keep the fire burning. And then, like I said, next week we'll talk a little bit more. But number one, and these are just, when I say number one, there could be 100 numbers, but, you know, it's just a form of saying, okay? Number one, it's very important. Number one, prayer must be a priority. It must be the priority of a Christian prayer. When you read the Bible, you know, that's God talking to you. But when you pray, that's you talking to God. Amen? That's fellowship. It's a communication. It's going both ways. It's the most important thing that a believer can do is to develop a prayer life, a consistent, unbroken place in a time of prayer every day. Say every day. Every day in your life. And you know, we've gotten away from this. People say, well, we can't put bondages. We can pray through the day. We can do this. We can do that. I'm telling you, most people that are saying that don't have a prayer life. You know, people say, well, that's not me. I'm telling you, what is vital to victory in your life, there will always be something else you need to do. There will always be somebody intruding. There will always be interruption. But what is vital to your victory in your life is having that prayer with God, having that time with God on a daily basis, on a consistent basis. And Jesus said this. He said, when you pray, go into a closet, a solitary place. Do you know that the world is consumed by just being busy? If there's nothing happening, you know, I've seen people, they just get bored going through their social media, going through, and they just don't know what to do with themselves. And Jesus said, you got to get into a solitary place. Solitary. Matthew 6:6 says this. It says, but thou, when you prayest, enter into thy closet. This is a King James Version, and the reason why I brought that out is because I wanted to bring out the word closet, because it has that, you know, that kind of private, you know, sound to it, okay? It says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. One translation says, your most private room. When you pray, go into the most private room. It says the word closet is found 4 times in the New Testament, and it literally means a secret place, a secret chamber, a private place, a place of privacy. How many times do you get into a private place with Jesus? A solitary place. Go into that place, he says, and shut the door. Don't let people interrupt you. Don't let anything distract you, because this is your time with God. God says, this is our time. And the thing is some of you know that, but it's not really a priority. And you think, that's impossible, Pastor Judy. Well, then, I don't know why Jesus said that. It's not impossible. Where there's a will, there is a way. Amen? Instead of you building your life, you know, like basically people talk, I got this and I got that and I got to do this and I'll try to work prayer in. You're not, if you're like that, you're not going to pray. You're never going to have a prayer life unless you make it a priority. You're never going to see the power of God like it should be. Amen? In your life. You're never going to do it if you don't build prayer into your calendar. Everything else has to work around prayer. That's what priority means. That's what it has to work around prayer. We're working so hard. We're trying to, okay, I'm going to bring my children up in the ways of God. I'm going to have a strong marriage, and I'm going to be nice to my husband when he comes home. And the minute he walks through the door, you're screaming at him, you know? Or I'm going to do great on my job. I'm going to build a strong. Well, you know what? There's so many success principles out there. But I'm telling you, when you make prayer priority, God will give you answers. He'll give you thoughts that you never, ever even dreamed or found in any success book. Because you know why? He's giving you what you need. He's bringing a fresh word from heaven. But we are so addicted to busy. I'm serious. We got to stay busy. And if we're not busy, we're on our iPhones. And it's crazy. And people don't even, honestly, this would be a strange idea to most people. Put your iPhone in another room. Grab a Bible. Get along with God. You know, it's just priority. Everybody shout, priority. Priority. Why make prayer priority? Because prayer is a sin killer. It's a power bringer, for lack of other words. I don't know if I said that right, but it's a power bringer. It's a Christ revealer. Prayer is an obstacle remover. Amen. Prayer is a dispute healer. Prayer is a holiness promoter. Prayer is a victory giver. That's why prayer should be a priority. He should be all I need. I remember the old song, He's All I Need. Jesus is all I need. You know what? How many people think of that right now? That Jesus, not as just a piece of what I need. Oh, it's good to have Jesus in my life a little bit of church, a little bit of Bible. But no, Jesus is all you need. I'm not just being a radical Christian up here. I'm telling you what the Word says. Hallelujah. When you start praying, it'll be like Superman coming out of a phone booth. You'll go in like Clark Kent, and you'll come out, man, ready to take on the world. Superman had miracles. They were not God's miracles, you know what I mean. Or Superwoman, amen? Hallelujah. So number one is priority. Say priority again. I must make prayer a priority. That means first place. That means everything. God is looking for you. He's walking through your house like he walked through the garden. And he's saying, hey, Maria, where are you? He's saying, Sarah, where are you? I'm not saying, you guys probably pray, but I'm just saying, you know. We'll pick on Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike, where are you? Try to use a man's figure. Pastor Mike, where are you? No, I'm just kidding. But he's looking, he's there. Is there a ladder in your house? Are you praying? Are you spending that time with God? Amen? Number two, not only must there be a priority of prayer, it's number one, the priority, but the biggest, and remember this, the biggest, most urgent thing you got to do when you wake up Monday morning is to what? Pray. And I'm just saying morning, maybe some of you have different times, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But somewhere in that day, you figure your schedule. I know what my schedule is. I know, you know, I'm an early morning person. I love to get up. I've always been a 4:30, 5 o'clock person. Sometimes lately I get up at 5:30, but I always get up in enough time to read my Bible, to talk to God. Amen? And, you know, but some of you need to find that time that works. Amen? So number two, you need a time of prayer. There must be a time to pray. You know, we schedule everything else. We just, you know, a whole rest of the world, we schedule. And then if we have time, we do the very one thing that God yearns us for us to do. We pray. We need a time of prayer. There must be a time to pray. Well, and you know, a lot of people say, you know, well, Pastor Judy, when God leads me, I'm telling you, you know, I had prayer today in the car, and I was praying for somebody. No, there must be a time every day. You're going to think, well, you're getting legalistic with this. No, I'm not being legalistic with this. There needs to be a time every day that you pray. If prayer is your priority, amen, because life runs on schedules. You know, if you have to feed your children when they get up in the morning, you may have to take them to school. There's life. Life runs on schedules. Our jobs run on schedules. Amen? You don't go to work just when you feel like it. Amen? You're on a schedule. You don't get up and get ready to do the things that you need to do. You have to do things. And a lot of times you may not feel like praying. Life is pretty much, you're on a pretty tight schedule with everything in life. Everybody's on this tight schedule. They're, you know, I'm busy. I got to do this. I got to get my car fixed. I got to go get to my job. Everybody's on a tight schedule except for prayer. Well, we'll pray when we get a chance. And yet God created us for fellowship. Because it's not a big deal to you, it's not a priority. It has to be a priority. Is it a priority for you to get to your job on time? Prayer needs to be a priority. Amen? Not just when you get in trouble. Not just when something happens. Amen? A time to pray. In the morning, in the evening. In the morning and in the evening was when they prayed in the Old Covenant. But you figure out your own time to pray. Prayer will build a wall of protection over you and over your family. Let me share this true story with you. There was a man in the Korean War who was told by his superior officer on the battlefield that there was a wounded soldier. And he said, I want you to go out when you think the time is right and retrieve him and bring him back. And he said, I'm not commanding you to do this, but I'm telling you. He said it to a group, and there was one boy there that volunteered to do it. But he said, sir, could I wait until 9 a.m.? And he was just a few minutes away from 9 a.m., and the commanding officer, he said, okay, that's fine. But you don't have to do it, son, because you almost certainly will die trying to retrieve your wounded buddy out there. And this is a true story. And he waited till 9 o'clock, and he came up out of the foxhole at 9 a.m., came up out of that foxhole, went, and bullets were flying all over the place. He said he could feel the burning bullets. He could feel the burning in his neck and the shooting over him, but not one bullet hit him. He grabbed that guy. He pulled him back. He got him in the foxhole, and he saved his life. The commander ran over there, and he said, I have never seen such bravery. This is amazing. You're going to get a medal. But he said, tell me what was so special about 9 a.m. And he said, sir, I knew my mother would be praying at 9 a.m. Can your kids or anyone say that about you, that they know that you're praying at a certain time? I knew. When you pray, you build a wall of protection. The greatest miracles in the Bible happened at 9 in the morning, seriously, or 3 in the afternoon, because the prayer times of offering, this is Old Testament and New Testament, because the prayer in the Old Covenant was at 9 a.m. or at 3, which was called evening prayer. 3 was always called evening prayer because they didn't have electricity back then. I'm just assuming that, but it was called evening prayer. When Daniel prayed for 21 days at the end of the fast in Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, at 3 p.m., the Bible lets us know that an angel, Gabriel, showed up and gave him instructions. It says at the time of the evening sacrifice, and if you study this out, it was always at 3 o'clock. The evening sacrifice was at 3 o'clock. The morning prayer was at 9, the morning sacrifice. The day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 15, it says the Holy Ghost fell at 9 a.m. Why? Why that time? It was the prayer time. And at 9, and I'm not telling you to pray at 9 a.m. I'm just showing you they had times of prayer that were set. It was important to them. Amen? It was the prayer time, and at 9 a.m., the Holy Ghost was poured out on the New Testament church. In Acts 2:15, it says, some of you are saying these people are drunk. It isn't true. It's much too early for that. People don't get drunk by 9 o'clock in the morning. Amen? In Acts chapter 3, the Bible said that Peter and John healed the lame man at the hour of prayer. Says verse 1 says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, at the hour of prayer. When is your hour of prayer? The hour of power. They were going to the temple to pray, and there was a set time to pray. In Acts chapter 10, verse 3, Cornelius went out and received a vision from God at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and God told him to send for Peter to come and the gospel open up to the Gentiles. In verse 3, it says, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius, certain times, specific times, there are no magic times, but you need to figure out what time works for you. But in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, they had these times set up. So that it was just, you know, like it might have been a religious thing, whatever it was. But that's when things happen. If you look, even Elijah, when the fire fell down from heaven, if you go and study, it was at the 3 o'clock hour. It was at the evening sacrifice. And so they had that going on. Certain times. When is your time to pray? Daniel 6:10 said that he opened the window and he turned himself toward Jerusalem and he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and he prayed, giving thanks before his God. And what I like about this, in the New King James Version, it says this. Let me just read it. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God as was his custom, or as was his regular thing to do daily. See, there must be a priority, but there needs to be a time. And you got to schedule that time. This is my time. I remember when I got saved, and I would find that place of prayer, and every day. And I'm going to talk about a place of prayer in just a second, so I want to hold that off. Actually, it's not. There's a priority of prayer. There's a time of prayer, and the last one right now is a place of prayer. And I remember. I have 7 people in my family, and my mom and dad moved out to Arizona. That's where I got saved, and it was just crazy. And I'd get in my car, and there was this hotel called the Lake Havasu Hotel, and I would drive down there every morning, and I'd sit in my car, and I'd pray to God. I'd go there every night, and I'd sit. You've got to find a place to pray. Priority, amen, a time and a place. Put it down. A lot of people just won't do it because prayer isn't that important to them. Or it seems impossible. If you have to wake up at midnight from 12 to 1, whatever it takes, it will change your life. It will bring the power of God into your life. It'll bring God's destiny into your life, God's plan into your life. God's will be established into your life. Jesus talked about a place of prayer. And I'm going to hurry up here, but he said there must be, when they asked Jesus to teach them to pray, Jesus took them to a solitary place, a priority, amen, a time, and then a solitary place. Well, I can pray anywhere. I can pray in my car. I understand that. I do. I pray all the time. But there's something about that solitary place, that time where you really get to fellowship with God, where you really get to know him, where it's not some kind of religious thing or some kind of, oh, you know, Father, I thank you. I believe I receive in Jesus' name. And I thank you when I go into this grocery store that I'll have the favor of God and I won't have to wait in line and all the prices will be low, you know, whatever. None of you pray like that? When you're in a rush, you don't pray those things? When you have to go to the registry, you don't pray, God, I just thank you that that line moves quick, you know. I thank you that you split that line like the Red River, like the Red Sea. Nobody ever prays like that. Come on, sometimes you have to, right? And you see God move. But there's nothing like that time where you can sit and think and pray and hear and be like when Adam walked, when God walked the garden with Adam. Amen? Hallelujah. There needs to be a sacred place. You know, I've had so many of them. I was a basement dweller for a year. And I would just, you know, couldn't wait to get. When that sacred place happens, you can't wait to get to that place. I couldn't wait to get to that hotel parking lot. I couldn't wait to get into my basement. I'd come home from church and go to my basement. I'd come home from work and go to the basement. It was just my place with God. Amen? Now we have a back room. We have this beautiful back room that we love, and we had exercise equipment in there. We had this in there. We had, you know, we kept changing it. And then one day, I just said, we're going to make this a prayer room. This is the place we're going to come, and we're going to study, and we can even close the door and pray back there. Amen? Hallelujah. One guy I heard about used to take a tiny chair into his closet. He was 80-something years old, and he said, the kids always knew when I sit in that chair to leave me alone because that was my place of prayer. Your kids need to know that you have a time and a place of prayer. That man was saved, and he saved another man in the Korean War because he knew his mom was going to be praying at that time. Amen? And they need to know that you have a place. Who was it? The Wesley's mom, Susanna Wesley. What was her name? Her place of prayer, she had 8 kids. Her place was prayer. She would sit her chair in the middle of her little old house, put her apron over her head, and nobody bothered her. She had her place of prayer for an hour. Matthew 6:6 says, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It should be a sacred place. Find a sacred place. If it's your car, if it's Shaw's parking lot, you have to leave your house. If it's your basement, if it's your attic, but go somewhere every day that you're meeting God. Amen? Go somewhere there. You must have a priority of prayer, a time of prayer, and a place of prayer. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me say what I don't want to. Daniel had a place of prayer. He had a place of prayer by the river Kabat. Nathaniel prayed under the fig tree. Peter prayed on the rooftop. Amen? But they knew where to find him, but that was his sacred place. Amen? Maybe your place is a walk through the neighborhood. Some people like to walk and pray. But become deliberate about a time and a place of prayer, a special place. Amen? So I encourage you, say, prayer is a priority. Amen? It is a priority in your life. Don't schedule your life around prayer. And I know some of you are saying to me, I don't even know how to start praying. Listen, we're going to give you some good helps next week, so don't miss it. That will help you. But I'm telling you, when I was showing up at that parking lot, I didn't know how to pray. I just loved being with Jesus, and he loved being with me. He loved coming down. And it wasn't the cool of the day because it was 120 degrees sitting in my air-conditioned car in that parking lot in Lake Havasu City. But I knew I was meeting God. That was like my first meeting place. And then the pastors let us open the church. And it's funny, we opened the church at 6 a.m. every morning for probably 2 years. And only my friend Maureen, who pastors in Arizona, her husband, myself, and one of the other teachers in the school that we were teaching in, it was only the three of us. But man, we were there every morning, and we saw miracles. We saw God show up in so many ways. Is there a ladder in your house? Are you bringing your children up that ladder? Your family, your situation? Are you climbing the ladder and just talking to God? Just fellowshipping with him? When's the last time you just spent time just praising him? Amen? Just singing to him. Prayer is a priority, guys. If we're going to see a move of God, everybody needs to get on board. You know, we have prayer here on Wednesday night, and it's a small group that comes. But I'm not just talking about corporate prayer. I'm talking about your prayer. And it's awesome. And we can have the worship team come. When you make your house a place in your home, a sacred place of prayer. And it's so awesome that God knows that he's going to meet you there every morning, or he's going to meet you there every night. You have that set up. I will not miss meeting with God. You know, when you come to church on Sundays, church starts at what time? Especially all you workers and leaders, right? You got to be here. We're expecting you. We're looking for you. If you're not here, we're like, where's Pastor Laurie? Where's this one? Where's that one? Where's Ty? Where's Giselle? Where is Alex? I walked in tonight and I was like, where is Alex? And she was hidden in the dark in that piano. Well, God's showing up and he's saying, where are you? That's the awesome thing about the God of heaven, is he loves being with us. Every single one of us. Amen? Hallelujah. Get started. Start thinking this week. You know, Monday morning. Get somewhere tomorrow morning. Go in your bed and cover your head with a flashlight or something. But if you think you're going to fall asleep, I remember Jerry Savelle saying he would stand at the edge of a tub and put a wet rag around his head, because he kept falling asleep, and he knew that if he fell, he was going to hurt himself. And he would pray that way for an hour. Amazing, isn't it? It was so funny tonight. Today I was typing, and I've been pretty busy lately, but I was typing, and while I was typing, I don't know, the next thing you know, I woke up with my head on my typewriter, and I'm like, I cannot believe that. I'm like, well, what happened, you know? And I had to rush and get my message together. But I'm telling you, God is you know, make it a priority. Amen? What are the three things? Priority, time, and a sacred place. Amen? A place that's sacred to you. Hallelujah. Come on, worship team. Did you not hear me? Hallelujah. We want to pray. I know God's just, I mean, he's wanting me to increase my time. You know, when God's dealing with you about prayer, he's wanting to talk to you. He's wanting to download revelations to you. He's wanting to lead you. He's wanting to give you answers so you don't make mistakes. We're always making mistakes doing things. He's wanting to give you dreams that you can't even imagine. He was wanting to build vision on the inside of you. But you've got to go and walk with him and talk with him and make it a priority. Amen? Write it down. Put it on your alarm every 5 minutes on Monday that says, prayer is a priority. Prayer is a priority. Siri will tell you. Prayer is a priority. Or whatever, Alexa, whoever you have. Prayer is a priority. Amen? Find the sacred place. Hallelujah. And set the time. Set the time. I know I'm saying it over and over because I'm wanting you to really catch this. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.